G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 15 of Eric to the Diary Room. Eric to the Diary Room is my podcast that comes to you usually from the mobile diary room, i.e. my car. And on this podcast, I talk about TV, entertainment, music, pop culture, and a lot more. You can find out previous shows and more information at irktothediaryroom.com. This show is a part of Channel Irk, channelirk.com. First of all, a bit of an announcement before we get actually into the episode. It is almost mid-December 2012 as I record this particular episode. And so that means we are coming up to, in Australia at least, and I presume other places around the world, what we call the wasteland. Here in Australia, at least, it's summer TV. It's a non-ratings period over the Christmas New Year period. And so what usually happens is a lot of the shows that rate really well, they get put on hold until next year, 2013. There's a lot of sport on TV, especially on the main commercial channels now, which aren't counted as part of the ratings. Of course, the channels will keep an eye on what has worked and what doesn't work over the summer, ratings-wise. But what often happens as well, sometimes it's a bit of a dumping ground for things that they've purchased, either because they thought it was really good or there was big talk about it in the States or whatever, or it was part of another deal where they buy certain programs from a certain company, and as part of that they get these other shows as well apart from the one that they also wanted. And sometimes shows that do really well in America don't necessarily do well here. Sometimes that's the fault of the show. Sometimes I have to say the biggest cause of that problem is sometimes the networks themselves here in Australia. And I'll give you a classic example of that. In previous episodes, I said that I had recorded episodes of Beauty and the Geek here in Australia. Beauty and the Geek Australia, where the premise of that show was to have some beautiful women and to have some geeky guys, and the geeky guys learn a bit about how to dress themselves and dress well, and you know, how to get on with the ladies. Whereas the idea for the blokes is to teach the girls something about, you know, something apart from Barbie dolls and dyeing their hair blonde and all that sort of stuff. So that was on Channel 7 here in Australia. So I thought, okay, I'll record all the episodes. I won't, you know, get involved in any of the hype or anything while the show is on. And then when it's over, I'll watch all the episodes, and I'll be able to basically sum up the whole series in an episode, and that will be that. I did the same, or I summed up, like, The Block New Zealand in a couple of episodes. I ended up catching up to that, as we heard in the last episode, and also The Amazing Race Australia earlier this year. That's exactly what I did. So the other day I'd read that Beauty and the Geek was over, so I thought, oh, awesome, Beauty and the Geek's over. I can now go back to episode 1 on my Foxtel IQ, because I series linked, recorded all the episodes, and so I thought, oh yeah, I can do that, not a problem. But it was a problem because all the episodes weren't recorded because Channel 7 kept on moving it. While I've been watching other shows on Channel 7 that I've recorded, things like Border Security, Highway Patrol, The Force, all of those sort of things, I'd see an ad for Beauty and the Geek. Oh, Beauty and the Geek has now moved to a new time, and at least that I can think of, it's had 3 different time slots since it was on. So somehow my series link is screwed. I don't have all the episodes. And to be quite frank, at the moment, I couldn't be bothered going back now and going to the website because different TV stations have different periods that they hold their shows for on their website. So I couldn't even be bothered going back because I've got too much to watch, too much to do at the moment for reasons that I'll talk about in a second. So that was Beauty and the Geek. I was looking forward to watching it. I have watched previous series, but a lot of that was watching it online, so I wanted to watch it one after the other, like I did with The Amazing Race Australia. So, no can do there. So then I moved on to The Amazing Race, the US version, which is season 21, I believe, season 21. And that, again, is on Channel 7 here in Australia. And so you might remember that the... I was going to say Beauty and the Geek again. The Amazing Race Australia was the first Amazing Race that I'd watched. Like, I knew of the show, I knew of the concept, I knew that it was an American show originally, but I hadn't got round to watching an Australian season or an American season. Before this year, I didn't have the means to series link it because, again, Channel 7, they're a prime offender of moving their shows around. So you really need something like series link to be able to keep up sometimes. So I went back to episode 1, where they started in America and they went across pretty much straight away to China, to Shanghai. And I have to say that having watched the Australian version this year and having watched the American version, I'm in the middle of watching the American version as we speak, or not literally as I speak because I'm driving my car and talking to you guys, but it's in progress. I haven't caught up, I haven't watched all the episodes yet. Yeah, it's good to compare the American version and the Australian version now. With some shows, when they have an Australian version and they have an American version, there are huge differences and sometimes the format's pretty similar. And in this case, I'd have to say that the format is pretty similar to what the original, the American format is compared to the Australian format. You know, they have all similar sorts of things, which is good. So you can watch one... you can watch one or the other and you basically know the whole premise of what's going on. So one thing that struck me straight away between the differences between the American version and the Australian version with the contestants, and OMG, are the Americans loud or what? Oh boy, are they loud. Now, some people, when they travel, some Americans, when they have the travel... when they travel, rather, they have the reputation, sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not, as the ugly American, the loud American, the ignorant American. And there's a lot of people that, for one reason or another, and it happens here in Australia too, where they don't necessarily leave their home country. So while Australians are exposed a lot to America, for instance, on TV, as we found on this series, it's not necessarily back the other way. You know, there are exceptions, of course, to every rule. But boy, are these Americans loud. I've wanted to throw my remote control at the TV on any number of occasions, and there's been a few occasions there where people have said and done things that you say, yep, dumb American, loud American, ignorant American. It's really, you know, in this case, it's really justified. Like, there's a couple of twins, and originally the twins are from Sri Lanka, but they're Americans now. And so they are probably the loudest ones there. And when you hear them cheer each other on during the events, you do sometimes want to throw your remote control at your TV. There was one example when they were in Indonesia where one of the twins, and I can't remember how I can tell them apart because they do look fairly similar and they dress fairly similar. It's not easy to remember who's who. She's having a go at this Indonesian guy because he doesn't speak English. Now, of course, he's in Indonesia. English isn't the first language of Indonesia. Indonesian is. And so you don't necessarily, you aren't required by law to speak English, especially to American tourists on a game show. And even in a country where English is the first language, Australia, for instance, and to a degree in America, you will come across people who, even though they're in America or Australia, they won't speak English. But when it comes down to expecting a person in a non-English speaking country to speak English and berating them for not doing so, that's a bit how you're going. That's a bit over the top. Also, I did have to have a laugh at this segment. There was a segment in Russia where they were in Moscow and they had to work out different time zones in different parts of Russia. I think they said that the whole land area of Russia, there's 9 different time zones. And so they gave them a time in Moscow, they gave them on the screen a map of Russia with the time zones and different cities, and then they'd, you know, take it away and you'd have to try and remember and work it out. Where they were getting confused was with the references to, I think, Russia from Moscow, rather, from memory, was +4 UTC. And so another part of Russia was +7. And so they thought that meant that there was 7 hours difference between Moscow and the country, or the part of the country where it was +7, whereas it's a difference of 3 hours. I have noticed, of course, during the time that it is a lot easier for me to do the time conversion for the person, and then I'll say, hey, what part of the States will you be calling me from? Oh, I'm on the East Coast, so I'll work out the East Coast time, and I'll say, okay, I will call you at 2100 on Monday the 10th of December, 10 p.m. your time on Monday, I'll call you. And then I'll figure out what time that is for me and then call them, because if I expect them to do the translation, it just doesn't work. So I can understand, but the Russian school teacher guy, he was quite funny. Like, you'd have to bring your papers up to the front when you were done, and he would say, "That is not correct. You are wrong." Or, try again. Pencils down. It was really funny. But when they actually got it right, he said to them at one stage, "I am very sorry, but you win." Very, very cool. And of course, this show, I do love travel. And I think to myself, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to Russia based on what I've seen on things like The Amazing Race. And it's just amazing myself that once upon a time an American TV show would never get into Russia, but of course things are a lot different than in the Cold War years. Another key difference that I have noticed between the Australian and the American version that I'm watching now is that with the Australian version, a lot of the time, even if they were flying to an overseas country like China or whatever, most of the time they would end up on the same plane, or, you know, if not the same plane, they'd be half on one plane and then half on the other. You know, it would say, okay, I think one in the Australian series was fly from Vancouver, Canada, to Shanghai, China. I may be wrong on that, but they pretty much all ended up on the same flight and with a particular airline. Whereas in the American version, one example that I saw, they were travelling from Bangladesh and they were going to Russia. No, sorry, Turkey. They were going from Turkey and they were going to Moscow. So they had to figure out, could they get a direct flight? And if they could get a direct flight, should they take it? Or would it be better getting a connection? And how long was the connection? You know, was the connection too tight? Or would you be waiting around for too long? And so that's the sort of stuff that they should be doing in this show, not babysitting them to a degree to say, okay, you must go from Vancouver to Bangkok, you must be on this particular plane, or if you miss that, you'll be on this particular plane. I think the way that they did it in this example from Turkey to Moscow was a great example of what can go wrong and what can go right. There were a couple of teams that they only left an hour and a half at the absolute max between connections. Now, I don't necessarily care if, you know, if you're travelling wholly within the EU or you're not travelling wholly within the EU or your connections in the EU or whatever. 1.5 hours, there's not a lot of time, especially if you're going from one airline to the other. An hour and a half is not a lot of connection time when it comes to aviation, especially if there is some international travel involved. I don't think that's, you know, that's enough at all. And as it was, the plane with the tight connection on it did run late, ran about an hour late, and as a result, two of the couples did not actually make it. They did not actually make their connection. They had to get another connection, and then they had to. They eventually got to Moscow a day behind the others. However, having said that, the two teams that did miss their connection, they ended up, they didn't come last and they weren't eliminated in the end. So one thing with the Amazing Race is never give up. Even if things happen, you know, you miss your connection, your cab driver gets lost, whatever happens, don't give up, because there can be things that can be happening to other teams. And one of the things that I disagree with in the Amazing Race is the amount of things, the amount of times that these people spend in cabs. And they always go up to the cabbie in some third world country. It's like, do you know where you're going? Yes, 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 I know where I'm going. And then halfway through the trip, he doesn't know where he's going. You know, one couple ended up at a rubbish tip, for instance. I think they rely on cabs too much, and that's not necessarily the choice of the couples or the teams, but that is a choice of whoever is setting them the rules. I'll say, okay, take a taxi to Tiananmen Square, as an example. And so, to follow the rules, you must take a taxi to Tiananmen Square. You know, there's no getting around it. They have travelled in this series so far that I've seen on a train. One couple actually selected, I must say team again, one team actually selected to catch a metro compared to a taxi. That wasn't the quickest choice, as it turned out, because their scuba thought, I think they were in Turkey again, their school of thought was, oh, well, it's, you know, peak hour, so there's going to be lots of traffic on the road, so a metro will be quicker than a taxi. And in normal circumstances, that's not a bad way of thinking. However, where they were, and the time they were going, there was no cars on the road, as they quickly found out. And it wasn't an express. They were going from the airport to the ferry terminal, so they quickly found out that the subway wasn't the quickest way. Another team who had jumped on with them jumped off and got a cab mid-subway ride once they figured out how long it would take to get there. But some, I think they should be encouraging more of that. Make your way to point A to point B in any way possible. You know, we don't want to see, or I don't want to see, them just getting round from point A to point B in a taxi every single time. You know, let them walk on foot. Let them find the place themselves. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of that going on. Another thing when it comes to taxis that I don't like in this series is the premise of, oh, can you wait for, like, they'll get to a point to do a task or something, and then they'll say, oh, can you stay here? They'll say to the taxi driver, you stay here, you wait for me. I disagree with that as well. Once you've got the taxi to your destination, you should be forced to leave the taxi, and you can't get them to wait for you. I disagree with that. If they are going to get a taxi on their next journey, and who knows if they are even going to get a taxi at all, I think because they are so used to getting taxis everywhere, they think, oh, well, the next leg's going to be involving a taxi ride, so we'll stay here, we'll leave our stuff in the taxi, and when we get back, we won't have to hail a cab, and because we're in a third world country, well, we can afford to pay it. That is probably how one of the teams on the current season actually lost a passport and lost their bags, because their passports were in their bags. Pro tip, don't leave your passport in your bag, because if your bag gets stolen, you're absolutely screwed, as this team found out. If the rest of the Amazing Race had have been in Russia, well, they might have been okay, but as the host said to them, as soon as you get to a border crossing, you'll need your passport. And if you can't produce your passport, and if the customs officials, border protection, call them what you will, won't let you out of the country, well, you can't continue on with the race. So I am enjoying it. I have actually now caught up to where I was before. Hang on, that's a stupid statement. I have caught up to where the TV is. Channel 7 are showing it once a week, and so I've now caught up to Channel 7, so now I have to wait as the 6 to go. So I'm hoping that this will be all finished by the time I get to America. I hope so. Now, did you hear me say that I'm going to America? Well, in case you haven't heard it anywhere else, I'm going to America. So from mid-January 2013, up until the end of February, I will be in the US. So there'll be a couple of more episodes of this show before I go to the US. There won't be any episodes produced of this show while I'm over in the US. I don't think I'll be watching a lot of US TV while I'm there. Who knows? I'm not totally sure. But I will be travelling into the US, across the US, possibly into Mexico. And so as a result, while I'm away, there'll be no episodes. I'll probably have about 2 or 3 more episodes before I go. One of them will be the feedback episode. Sean did mention to me, I spoke on the last episode about getting Emergency on DVD, and thinking that the DVD company basically recorded the episodes of Emergency from the TV. Well, that's basically what they did. I was correct. TV Land is a is a cable channel in America that specialises in reruns of shows on syndication. And so Emergency is a classic example of that. And some of the other shows that because the people have taped off the TV, they've recorded off the TV, you hear all the voiceovers and all the captions and everything for different shows, including The A-Team, Game of Pile, Mary Tyler Moore, and more. I'm probably not quite halfway through watching the Emergency disc. I probably won't get it completed by the time I get back to the States. So we'll just see what happens. Of course, there's no rush because we're talking about a show that's over 30 years old. I've actually almost completely watched everything on my Foxtel IQ, and I'm actually in the middle at the moment of watching some documentaries that I recorded on September 11th, which, funnily enough, was about events on September 11th. And for me, of course, I have an interest in emergency services and public safety. I'm a volunteer with an emergency service here in Sydney. And of course, as time goes on from 9/11 in 2001, you know, there's more people speaking about it now, there's more footage coming out, and so it's a lot easier now to deal, for me anyway, it's a lot easier to deal with the events that happened on 9/11. Of course, people who were directly affected, especially those in New York City, you know, might not feel the same way. But then again, it is, you know, 10, 11 years later, it is still difficult viewing. The different documentaries that I'm watching have different points of view, different footage and the like. So prior to my US trip, it's actually a good reminder that, you know, of the events that happened. And I'm looking forward to going back to the sites of the World Trade Center, Ground Zero, and seeing the memorial that's finished now and things like that. Because when I was in there in 2009, it was a construction zone still. So it will be good to see the memorial and what people are actually doing there while I'm in New York. Speaking of people who have been to New York and other places, I've been watching on BBC Knowledge here on Foxtel, here in Australia, a series called Richard Hammond's Crash Course. Now, in case you don't know Richard Hammond, he is one of the guys from Top Gear, and recently he went over to the US as part of a BBC production. A joint production between BBC UK and BBC America. So people in America and the UK shouldn't have any problem seeing this one on the internet. Australians maybe not so much. But the whole premise is that Richard Hammond went to America and he was trying all these occupations. Now, when it comes down to training someone who is totally new at an occupation, depending on what it is, of course, you may be able to teach someone in a week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, just depending on what the job is. But not for Richard Hammond. They have given him 3 days to see if he can do the task. And some of the early tasks that he had to do were quite interesting and quite spectacular. For instance, driving one of the massive airport fire trucks and putting out a fire at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport in Texas. That was quite interesting. There was another episode that was based in New York where during the day he had to learn how to become a New York taxi driver, and then at night he had to learn how to be a stand-up comedian. So that was quite cool. There was another one that was done in LA where he had to learn how to be a stuntman, and again, that one was cool. He's done some cool stuff during this series. As I said, being a fireman, being a taxi driver in New York, being a stand-up comedian, being a stuntman, being a rodeo rider, being a demolition men, you know, knocking down buildings and all that sort of stuff. Working at a landfill site, driving the various machines and that sort of stuff. All of that sort of stuff, all the early episodes that I've seen, lots of interesting stuff, lots of action, and you really think, can he actually do this? You know, we're talking about people who have got years and years and years of experience, and then you're throwing in someone from a different culture and saying, okay, you've got 3 days, go your hardest. And to be fair, he's actually doing quite a good job. Now, of course, they've given him, as the name of the show suggests, a crash course, but he's getting in there, he's getting things done, he's got his funny moments, and it's good. Some of the newer episodes that I'm watching later on in the series, you know, it's starting to get a bit predictable now, and it's starting to get a bit boring, so to speak, because he rarely fails. And now he's doing stuff that isn't really as spectacular. He's not doing hard stuff anymore, like he's, you know, relative to some of the other stuff, like how to be a cowboy in Texas. Not so interesting for me. How to be a zookeeper. Not so interesting for me. Other people might enjoy it. I don't know. You don't necessarily have had to watch Top Gear or even know who Richard Hammond is. Richard Hammond could be just some anonymous English guy who you don't even know. And you'll see, and you'll get something out of it. Obviously, the know you more about him, the more you might enjoy the show. That is, of course, if you like the guy. So, that's not too bad. That's on BBC Knowledge here in Australia, as I've said before. Here in Australia, we've got the best of Australian TV, we've got the best of like British, UK, European TV, and the best of American TV, so we're really spoiled when it comes down to it. So that's something that you might keep an eye out for. It's not a bad watch, especially some of the earlier episodes. I actually thought that all of the episodes were over, but there's still some coming on. It sort of reminds me in a way of a show called Undercover Boss. I've seen US, UK and Australian versions of that, where a corporate boss, like a CEO or chief operating officer or something like that, of a particular company will go undercover to a company, you know, with various offices and outlets and that sort of stuff, and they will, you know, go undercover, pretend to be an entry-level employee, then there'll be lots of sob stories, and then the boss reveals who he is, of course, or she is in some cases, and all that's interesting as well. But then again, you can sort of see how that could be repetitive as well, and if you've got no interest in that particular industry or that particular workplace, you might not enjoy that particular show either. You know, that series tends to come and go. I think it'd be an interesting experiment to be a part of, but that is Undercover Boss as well. As I said, there are Australian, UK and US versions. Check your local guides, so to speak. Anywho, I'm Erk. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. And on this episode, we have talked about The Amazing Race. We've talked about Richard Hammond's crash course. We've talked briefly about Undercover Boss and a bit more. Hope you've enjoyed it. Shauno and any other person who isn't Shauno can leave comments on the Shauno notes at erkthediaryroom.com. You can email me erkpod@gmail.com or connect with me on the social networks. There's links in the show notes. Anywho, I'm Erk. Thanks for listening and good night, Interweb.